All right, welcome, part two. Two beers.
We have a new beer, so we can continue then. So cheers.
Prost.
Na zdrowie.
Na zdrowie.
So we have two traditional beer styles in Poland, and one is Grodziskie, 7.8% of plato, 2.5% of alcohol. It was called Polish champagne. Because of two reasons, because it is very sparkly, and 4% of the bottles blown up in the brewery.
It was 4% of the bottles blown up in the brewery.
It was re-fermented and not always good, because it was also done by communists, which they didn't care about that much. So yeah, it was dangerous beer. It could blow up in the shop as well. But it was the brewery was bought by a big concern. Mm-hmm. And closed down. The beer style was cleaned out. The yeast were destroyed. So Polish Home Brewer Association started to recreate. They wrote the Grodziskie Revivers. You can read this in English, actually. It's a description of the beer, how it was brewed, what information we do have on all the details. So actually, thanks to that, not only all the Polish breweries of all the craft breweries are brewing this beer from time to time, but also Browar Fortuna rebuilt the brewery in Grodzisk Mazowiecki, where traditionally Grodziskie beer was brewed, and they started to open batch fermentation of the traditional Grodziskie. So because of that, the whole brewery was recreated. And the other beer style is Jopeńskie. Jopeń beer. It was brewed in Gdańsk, so it's not a traditional Polish style, let's say, but right now Gdańsk is a part of Poland, and it was beer which was relatively strong, 54 points of plato, more or less, more than 20% of alcohol, and it's very complicated to brew that beer because the yeast won't handle to ferment this type of wort. So you need to add some special fungus first to penetrate it, and then it's and actually it will have premiere this week in Pegie for the most traditional version of this beer from Gdańsk Brewery. And we like to play in strong beers, ice beers. We're fantastic at Baltic Porters, but we also try to go with a wave of new trends from US and not only.
What is a Baltic Porter instead of a normal porter?
Baltic Porter is it was derived from a normal porter, traditional porter from England, that was sent to Katharina the Great's throne during the 18th century. And she loved the beer so much that because of Napoleon, England stopped sending any beers or other things because of the embargo to Russia. A few of the breweries started brewing that along Baltic Porter, Baltic region. So it's called Baltic Porter. And because of the different approach and it changed in the future, they started brewing that only with bottom fermenting yeast. And it was also very popular in the Austro-Hungarian Empire. Before the war, a few of the breweries, which are now right now in Poland, one of the most traditional is Cieszyn Brewery, that still operates on the same equipment and was built before the First World War, is quite famous for brewing their Baltic Porter as well. So it's more clear in the aroma, little esters, less burning aroma because you do not add burned barley. It's much more complex than it's not so intense as Imperial Stout, but it's quite complex. You have a lot of dry fruits aroma, things like that. Very malty beer.
Okay.
So we love to reach for the new ideas from different cultures and mix them in our own way. Of course, we need a lot of experience to be on the level of the best US breweries, best Italian breweries, not even speaking about Belgian breweries, which sometimes have so many years of experience and so detailed and complex aroma and beer style. I think some of the traditional beers in Belgium are perfect. And to achieve something like that, it's unique. But we brew just something different.
But it's the craft scene in Poland is very professionalized now.
No, not at all. It's improvised. It's totally improvised. Next to none of the craft brewers have some professional knowledge about brewing. No, they finished some universities. We are mostly self-taught. Recently, we have some studies in universities, but all the most experienced brewers are self-taught. But if you have a passion like that, your brewery is your passion, and you're in that 24 hours a day. You can experience really fast.
And did you brew it yourself also?
Oh, I'm a home brewer. And there was a moment that I was teaching home brewers as well. But with the common breweries, I collaborated only a few times. And I also brew at Viking Malt in Lahti, in our one of our plants. We have a small brewery where we are making test batches. It's 100 to 200 liters.
Yeah, it's a good batch.
we're not selling that, of course, but we're pouring that, for example, at the Brau Bavial. Last time I brewed Grodziskie beer there, and actually tomorrow I'm flying to Helsinki to brew another two batches with my friend. It's his recipe. He won the contest for the best stand at the Polish Homebrewer Festival. Okay. He made a best stand, best looking stand, also quite good beers, and he wanted to as a prize
for the stand, not for the beer.
Yes.
Okay.
The award for the beer was something else. It was a professional brewing of this beer. So and we want to. We invited him to our malting house in Lahti, so he will see the malting house and the process and how it all looks like. Plus, because we have this small test brewery,
you can collaborate on a batch there. Yeah. Oh, that's.
And probably we'll pull this beer on the festival, on the homebrewer festival, and as well on Brau Bavial if it will be still good.
Oh, cool.
I brewed, for example, with my friends and some Norwegian in Brovar Spudjelce, traditional Kvaik beer, which was according to the old recipe. It was like a common brew. I brewed a few beers in semi-sized breweries like according to my recipes, but I never professionally brew myself. So, to be honest, I like that experience. But you cannot do all, unfortunately.
Because once you have a good recipe, then you can outsource it. Like they brew it in a bigger batch, of course.
Yeah, but you probably know that the recipe is not something really important if you want to brew a great beer. It's the process much more important. The quality of the quality of the yeast, the fermentation process, and all the details we do not have time to talk about here right now. But even an idiot could do a good recipe. There are dozens of them in the internet. You can actually ask a home brewer for a recipe.
Yeah, or the ones where we brewed from was the Paradox for BrewDog, because BrewDog open sourced all their recipes. So if you want a basic recipe, then
And you totally know that you can use that, and the beer will be different always. So the thing is that the recipe is one thing, but brewing a good beer is another. So I'm not focusing on the recipes. I'm not Mikkel from Mikkeler. I focus on the process. I try to understand the process.
That you can have the same quality and the same exact taste again and again.
I have access to a few laboratories. I can do some if I need to check some malt and so on. I can play with that. I teach people about how to work with malt as well. So I think that the answer for that is a deeper understanding of the process of beer brewing. And are many of the homebrewers listening?
Probably.
Yeah. So a lot of different rest during mashing is bullshit. mostly, well, proper way of making mash with a good quality, good quality malt is something like 15 minutes in 84 degrees and then 10 minutes in 72 degrees. And actually then you can just filter the beer and it's ready.
Okay.
There are different people arguing on the mash out, if the mash out is important, and many breweries in US are not doing mash out, and no problem with that. With a good malt, you do not have to do protein break. Yeah. Ferulic break for wheat beers is bullshit as well, and so on and so on. So the traditional way of brewing, for example, in Czech Republic, quite often you do infusion, like in England here, as far as I know, this is a good approach as well. But in Czech Republic, for example, you may put you do the mash at 62 degrees for half an hour, and then on 72 for half an hour. And this means that they are so focused on tradition, they do not understand how this actually works.
Yeah, the real science behind it.
Yeah, is, yeah. They are just recreating the process, not understanding that. Yeah. And I'm really into trying to understand how it will all work. Of course,
optimization. Really.
Yeah, yeah. At some point, it's a kind of magic and art. And this is when the real brewer with his intuition comes to brew a fantastic beer. But understanding the process is really important if you want to play with the ingredients.
Final question. How did you land it into the world of craft beer?
Well, I brew my first beer. And I brew another one for the extracts, actually. And then I brew some more. And after a year... Also, I tried some other guy, craft beer, and well, that's it. I just got to know a few of the brewers, home brewers, and I found people with true passion.
With passion.
And it worked like a magnet for me. It was one of my many passions at the time, but...
You're talking about how many years ago?
Around 10 years ago, I started home brewing, yeah.
Cool.
And till now, I brew more than 100 batches, and I'm, you know, I still learn a lot. So it's a process. Beer brewing is a process, and everything changes so fast in Poland and outside of Poland. Right now, I spend my free time traveling to Belgium, for example, so to try to meet crazy idiots who love beer. And to see what's underneath the surface, because if I would be a normal tourist, I would go to Delirium or somewhere else. And when I asked for a boon lambic in Delirium, they asked me, "But you are sure you know what it is?" Because you know,
yeah, because the hype of like.
Yeah, yeah. If you go beneath, if you go to Trifontana and Cantillon is known by everyone, but today we were at the in the rescue of the Death of First, yeah, of the treat. Of, I don't know the original name, but
the bar you went today.
Yeah, yeah.
I assume you're talking about the Verzekering tegen de grote dorst.
Exactly.
It's a Flemish
yes.
name, and it's a Flemish sentence. It means the insurance against the great thirst.
Yeah, yeah. So sorry for my bad pronunciation. I'm not really focused on the name. But the truth is that when I was working in a craft beer bar for like 3 years, the brother of the owner of the place just came in Warsaw, and he invited us to his place when he introduced us to the world of lambic, which was then totally new for me. And as I said, I'm still learning the flavors, the aromas, and all this knowledge about sour beers, which are more and more popular. And yeah, sour is the new hoppy.
Sour is the new hoppy.
Yeah.
And that's a great sentence.
I love the devotion of people like Arant and, you know, the guys from lambic breweries that they put into creating perfect sour beer. And I love that. I love to hear that story.
You have, every 2 years, you have Tour de Jeus.
Yes, I know. Unfortunately,
this year,
yes, we will be we'll coming back from US on 4th, so it'll be next to impossible to participate, unfortunately. But yeah, next year. I haven't noticed that when we planned the trip through US breweries. So
cool. All right. And finally, yeah, do a shout out to your festival, and I wish you all the luck with the festival stuff. Maybe I'm gonna try with my work. Maybe I pop up there. Maybe.
Well, thank you very much. It's a wonderful beer celebration, and if not this this month, if not in April, you're of course invited. Probably we'll end up in the late October later this year. So two editions every year, and a lot of new beers.
And is it the Warsaw Beer Festival? It's center of Warsaw, so
yeah, it's close to the city center. Oh, the good. Stadium is close to the center, right. Unfortunately. But I also do recommend you to try the Polish beer culture, because it's not a joke anymore.
Cool. All right, thanks a lot.
Thanks, it was really nice meeting you. Na zdrowie.